Hello, everybody. Lemmy here. You remember me, don't you? No? Oh, okay. You're listening to Keith in the Electric Ballroom, and it serves you right.
Hey, it's Keith Roth and
Mark Boger.
And we're hitting commercials. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
Hey, this is Earl Slick, and you're listening to Keith on the Electric Ballroom.
Keith Roth, Mark Boger, my old friend. It's so good to see him. He put out this awesome book, Perfect Time, and still get it for a Christmas gift, Holly Jolly. But right there, it was Tin Machine, If There Is Something. Now, you know, I have both Tin Machine records, and before we got on the air tonight, getting into our typical David Bowie chat, and you were mentioning that you saw him perform that song, right?
Yeah, in the 90s, I had Saturday Night Live on, because I knew that Tin Machine was going to be on. I knew that was Bowie. You know, I love Bowie. I always want to see Bowie. And then next thing I know, he's playing If There Is Something, which is a pretty deep cut. It's the Roxy Music track from the first record, 1972, which is just titled Roxy Music. And Keith, I never once heard that song on the radio, never ever dreamed that anybody would cover it, but leave it to Bowie, mm-hmm. You know? So he does this like really cool version, because that's a great band, Tin Machine. This really cool version of If There Is Something, kind of a little bit frantic. It just is really cool.
So, it was smoking. I had both Tin Machine records. I was more acclimated with the first one. I did get the second one. As a matter of fact, I just bought that on vinyl recently, which sounds great, but it never came to me that that was a Roxy. And I know that first Roxy Music record front and back. I maybe never got that far into the album to realize, oh my gosh, is Bowie covering Roxy Music? And I missed that Tin Machine episode. You know, that I would have noticed. That's pretty cool. Pretty cool choice to play that.
I think you can find it on the YouTube, maybe.
Think of something, and then I'll type it in, and there it is on YouTube. Loving your new book, man. I'm getting to go through it right now. Holly Jolly, celebrating Christmas past and pop culture. Mark Boger, the last time you were down here is when we were promoting your book, Groovy, which was very hippie, psychedelic pop culture. I felt like I was always envious of my brothers, because middle brother is like 16 years older than me. I was a complete mistake. But to remember all that culture, you know, with him and his, you know, his flower child friends. And as they got a little bit older, it was like watching that movie Dazed and Confused. But they caught like that, you know, high school years of the psychedelia, and going through the Groovy book, it really brought back memories of me of being 4 or 5 years old. And now as I'm looking through this book, you know, all those great, glorious moments of Christmas, because, you know, when you're a certain age, Christmas meant everything to you. You really bring back what it meant growing up. What other highlights from the book that people would find interesting?
Another thing that we jump into is, you know, television. There's so many great, like, standalone TV episodes, like, you know, the Honeymooners is a classic. I still get misty-eyed whenever I see it. And everybody remembers Santa Claus promising Cindy Brady that her mom will sing again at the church service the next morning, right, because she has the laryngitis. But
that was great.
Yeah, but the And that Santa Claus, by the way, is the same guy who played the drunk, Otis the drunk on
Andy Griffith.
Andy Griffith, yeah. So the animated specials are what a lot of people remember, because they get faithfully replayed. And I think the golden period, there was 3 Christmases in a row, 64 through 66. And in 64, it was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the Rankin-Bass puppet animation program. It just wonderful with the abominable snow monster. And then in 65... it was Charlie Brown Christmas. That's my personal favorite. And
mine
one of the
too.
Miracles about that one, I think, is like I'm not a jazz guy, but I think that falling in love with Charlie Brown Christmas, you kind of become jazz fans because of that music by the Vince Guaraldi Trio. It's 3 guys playing acoustic instruments, piano, brushes on the drums, upright bass, and they're just playing jazz, but they're playing the Lucy and Linus theme, or they're playing like a jazz version of Oh Christmas Tree, you know. So it's just really a miracle. And so from then on, whenever I heard like jazz that sounded sort of like that, I was like, oh my God, that sounds like, you know, Charlie Brown.
That was your comparison.
Yeah. And then 66 brought us How the Grinch Stole Christmas, which was
still classic.
Yeah.
Still classic.
And Boris Karloff was the guy who narrated it and did the voice of the Grinch. And by then he was, people always think like, why did they use Frankenstein to narrate that story? But by then he'd been doing Christmas albums, and he'd been doing reading stories on the radio a lot, you know, so he really had it down. That's why this guy who had less than 2 years to live was able to like pronounce words like Trumtuker and Sue Scissor Carze, all those weird Dr. Seuss-isms, and not flub it, just do it perfectly.
Yeah, he was great. And, you know, to think about the kids right now that are 5 or 6, maybe even listening to the show, they know The Grinch Who Stole Christmas as well as we did. And, you know, you saw it firsthand when it came out back in 1966. It's Keith Roth, Mark Voger, and as you can hear, his passion in the book, you know, it comes through the pages. Holly Jolly, you can order it right now. Still got a couple days before Christmas. Amazon.com, Target.com, Tomorrows.com, right? BarnesandNoble.com, Walmart.com. It's everywhere. And it'll bring back some fond memories.